So this is a QRR4 practice piece, number 3, but the first of the Sunak series, with the US and trying to outflank the US and Germany. So here we go, ready. Any meeting of world leaders that begins with a hug instead of a handshake suggests a relationship that transcends the geopolitical stage. There is no doubt that, like Boris Johnson before him, Volodymyr Zelensky has grown close to Rishi Sunak as another British bastion of Ukraine's quest for freedom from its Russian aggressor. When the two men met in London, there was an apt degree of military precision to the statecraft employed to once again nudge the West into better equipping Ukraine against Vladimir Putin's army. Wagner mercenaries in Bakhmut appear to have been to have beaten and badly wounded their own commander using shovels, according to footage released by Ukraine. The four Russian fighters can be seen dragging the man through the battle-scarred landscape in the eastern Donetsk region. In a second video shot from a Ukrainian drone, the mercenaries can be seen dumping him next to a shack before the brutal assault. The Wagner mercenary group, which is made up of large numbers of murderers and rapists recruited from Russian prisons, has spearheaded Russia's 8-month-long effort to capture Bakhmut. Ukrainian officials in recent weeks have claimed that Russia is losing some 500 troops every day in a costly attempt to encircle Bakhmut. On Tuesday morning, Kyiv said the previous 24 hours were the deadliest of the war for Russian troops. The Ukrainian military said 1,030 Russians were killed on Monday, describing it as the highest daily toll of the war so far and bringing the total to 133,190. The figure could not be independently verified, and battlefield losses are notoriously difficult to estimate. In his overnight speech late on Monday, Volodymyr Zelensky said his armed forces had repeatedly repelled multiple efforts to encircle the town. "We are countering them. I am grateful to every warrior who ensures counteraction with his resilience," the Ukrainian president said. On Tuesday, Sergei Shoigu, Russia's defense minister, claimed Moscow's forces were successfully advancing on Bakhmut and neighboring Vulhodar. Military operations are at the moment progressing with success in the areas around Vulhodar and Artemovsk, Soviet-era name for Bakhmut, he said. Mr. Shoigu then proceeded to accuse Western governments of trying to drag out the conflict as long as possible with a steady stream of military aid to Kyiv. "Such steps draw NATO countries into the conflict and could see it escalate unpredictably," he said. Officials in Ukraine have warned that Moscow could launch a large-scale offensive within days to mark the one-year anniversary of its invasion. However, the Kremlin's plans are unrealistic because it does not have enough munitions or men to achieve a breakthrough, according to the UK Ministry of Defence. The Ukrainian governor of Luhansk said Russia is assembling troops and equipment in the area in preparation for an attempted offensive, echoing observations from analysts in recent days. "We are seeing more and more Russian reserves being deployed in our direction. We are seeing more equipment being brought in," said Mr. Haidai. The Institute for the Study of War, a US-based think tank, also noted over the weekend that Russia is concentrating troops and military equipment around western Luhansk and Bakhmut in order to stage a decisive offensive along the eastern front, where there have been relentless battles for months. However, a UK Ministry of Defence briefing on Tuesday noted that Russia has likely been attempting to restart major offensive operations in Ukraine since early January. "Its operational goal is almost certainly to capture the remaining Ukrainian-held parts of Donetsk Oblast. Yet Russian forces have only managed to gain several hundred metres of territory per week. This is almost certainly because Russia now lacks the munitions and manoeuvre units required for successful offensives." No sooner had the Ukrainian president used his historic speech in Westminster Hall to call for powerful English planes than the Prime Minister had ordered the Ministry of Defence to investigate what fighter jets Britain might be able to send to Ukraine. "The Prime Minister has tasked the Defence Secretary with investigating what jets we might be able to give," said a number 10 spokesman. "But, to be clear, this is a long-term solution rather than a short-term capability, which is what Ukraine needs most now. Whether or not the British can actually supply planes, and which ones might be the most effective against Russia's highly lethal network of ground-based surface-to-air missile systems, remains a source of consternation." But there was no doubting how carefully the sequence of manoeuvres had been choreographed. Coming after Mr. Sunak had pledged to train Ukrainian pilots on NATO standard aircraft, the offensive, like the UK's intervention on tanks, was designed to outflank the reluctant Americans and Germans. Olaf Scholz on Wednesday repeatedly refused to say whether he wanted Ukraine to win the war, even as he announced that Berlin would provide Kyiv with anti-aircraft weapons. After weeks of criticism over Germany's reluctance to help Ukraine repulse the Russian invasion, the Chancellor announced in an address to the Bundestag that he would send Kyiv an IRIST air defence system. "It is Germany's most modern air defence system," Mr. Scholz said. "Ukraine will be able to protect an entire city from Russian air raids. The IRIST uses infrared homing missiles to strike targets in the air." But he fell short of saying that he wanted Ukraine to win the war, instead vowing that "we will continue to support the Ukrainians for as long as necessary with all the options that we have put in place."